Welcome to the Immunology Roundtable. I'm Dr. Victor Roberts, your moderator for today. We're diving into the fascinating world of the immune system, an intricate network that not only protects us from pathogens, but also plays a crucial role in maintaining our overall health. Today, we'll explore the physical headquarters of immunity, our lymphoid organs and tissues.
That's right, Victor. The immune system is often thought of as a collection of cells, but it's so much more than that. It's a well-organized army stationed in specific locations throughout our bodies, ready to respond to threats. I can't wait to share some interesting stories about how these organs work together to keep us safe.
Absolutely. Location is key when it comes to immune function. Each lymphoid organ has a distinct role, and understanding these can help us appreciate how our bodies defend against disease. We'll also touch on how these organs change over time, especially as we age.
Before we dive deeper, let's set the stage for our listeners. We will cover the primary and secondary lymphoid organs, their unique functions, and how they interact with each other. By the end of this episode, you'll have a clearer picture of how these structures contribute to our immune responses. So let's get started.
Let's dive into the heart of our immune system by exploring its key components. The immune system consists of various cells and molecules that work together to defend the body against pathogens. At the core, we have two main branches, the innate immune system and the adaptive immune system.
Exactly, Olivia. The innate immune system acts as our first line of defense. It includes physical barriers like the skin and mucous membranes, as well as immune cells such as macrophages, neutrophils, and dendritic cells. These cells are always on alert, ready to respond to any invaders.
And let's not forget about the role of signaling molecules. Cytokines and chemokines are crucial for communication between immune cells. They help orchestrate the immune response, guiding cells to the site of infection. It's like sending out a call for reinforcements.
That's a great point, Caitlin. Now, shifting to the adaptive immune system. This is where things get really interesting. It's tailored to specific pathogens and involves B cells and T cells. B cells are responsible for producing antibodies, while T cells can directly kill infected cells or help coordinate the immune response.
And the beauty of the adaptive immune system is its memory. After an initial exposure to a pathogen, memory cells are formed, allowing for a quicker and more effective response upon re-exposure. This is the principle behind vaccinations.
Absolutely. And speaking of vaccinations, it's fascinating how the immune system can distinguish between self and non-self. This ability is critical to preventing autoimmune diseases where the body mistakenly attacks its own cells.
Right. And this brings us to the importance of the lymphoid organs, such as the bone marrow and thymus, where immune cells develop and mature. Understanding these components helps us appreciate how our immune system is not just reactive, but also proactive in maintaining health.
So, in summary, the immune system is a complex interplay of various cells and molecules, each with its own unique role. From the rapid response of the innate system to the tailored attacks of the adaptive system, it's a remarkable network designed to keep us healthy.
Now that we've covered the components of the immune system, let's move on to how these elements actually spring into action. The mechanism of immune activation is a fascinating process that begins with the recognition of antigens, substances that the immune system identifies as foreign.
Right, Caitlin. Antigens can be anything from proteins on the surface of pathogens to molecules released by damaged cells. The first step in immune activation is the recognition of these antigens by immune cells, particularly dendritic cells, which act as sentinels in the body.
Exactly. Once dendritic cells capture and process these antigens, they migrate to the lymph nodes. Here, they present the antigens to naive T cells using specialized molecules called major histocompatibility complex, MHC proteins. This interaction is crucial for T-cell activation.
And let's not forget about the role of co-stimulatory signals. T cells require a second signal in addition to the antigen recognition to become fully activated. This is like needing a password and a second factor of authentication to access a secure system.
That's a great analogy, Caitlin. Once activated, T cells proliferate and differentiate into various subtypes, including helper T cells and cytotoxic T cells. Helper T cells assist other immune cells, while cytotoxic T cells directly kill infected or cancerous cells.
Meanwhile, B cells are also activated in the lymph nodes. When they encounter their specific antigen, they undergo a similar process of activation and differentiation, producing antibodies that can neutralize pathogens or mark them for destruction.
And here's the plot twist. Some B cells become memory cells, which can live for years and provide long-lasting immunity. This is why vaccinations can protect us from diseases long after the initial exposure.
To summarize, the mechanism of immune activation involves a complex interplay of recognition, signaling, and cellular responses. This finely tuned system ensures that our bodies can respond effectively to a wide range of threats, from viruses to tumors. Now that we've discussed how the immune system is activated, let's delve into the coordination and regulation of immune responses. This aspect is crucial because while we want a robust immune response to fight off infections, we also need mechanisms in place to prevent overreaction that can lead to tissue damage.
Absolutely, Victor. The immune system operates like a finely tuned orchestra. Different immune cells must communicate effectively to ensure that the response is appropriate to the threat. This communication happens through a variety of signaling molecules, including cytokines and chemokines, which help coordinate the immune response.
And speaking of coordination, let's not forget about the role of regulatory T cells. These cells are like the peacekeepers of the immune system. They help maintain tolerance to self-antigens and prevent autoimmune reactions. Without them, our immune system might mistakenly attack our own tissues.
That's a vital point, Caitlin. The balance between activation and regulation is delicate. For instance, when an infection occurs, pro-inflammatory cytokines are released to ramp up the immune response. However, once the threat is neutralized, anti-inflammatory signals kick in to dampen the response and promote healing.
Exactly. This feedback loop is essential. If the immune response is not properly regulated, it can lead to chronic inflammation, which is linked to various diseases, including autoimmune disorders and even cancer.
And here's where the concept of immune checkpoints comes into play. These are regulatory pathways that can either enhance or inhibit immune responses. They're crucial in cancer therapy, where blocking certain checkpoints can unleash T cells to attack tumors more effectively. It's like removing the brakes on a race car.
Well put, Caitlin. So to summarize, the coordination and regulation of the immune system involve a complex interplay of signaling molecules and regulatory cells. This ensures that our immune responses are effective, but also controlled, preventing damage to our own tissues while still providing robust defense against pathogens.
Now, let's shift our focus to immune dysfunction patterns. These patterns can manifest in various ways, and understanding them is crucial for diagnosing and treating immune-related conditions. The first category we should discuss is immunodeficiency. This occurs when the immune system is unable to respond adequately to infections, which can be either primary, due to genetic defects, or secondary, often resulting from environmental factors like infections or malnutrition.
Exactly, Olivia. A classic example of primary immunodeficiency is severe combined immunodeficiency, or SCID, where both T and B cell functions are absent. Patients with SCID are extremely vulnerable to infections and require immediate medical intervention, often including bone marrow transplants.
On the flip side, we have conditions characterized by overactive immune responses, such as allergies and asthma. In these cases, the immune system reacts excessively to harmless substances, leading to inflammation and tissue damage. For instance, in allergic reactions, IgE antibodies play a central role in mediating the response to allergens.
And let's not overlook autoimmune diseases, where the immune system mistakenly targets the body's own tissues. Conditions like rheumatoid arthritis and lupus are prime examples. Here, the balance between self-tolerance and immune activation is disrupted, leading to chronic inflammation and damage to various organs.
That's a critical point, Olivia. The mechanisms behind autoimmunity can be complex, often involving genetic predispositions, environmental triggers, and even infections that mimic self-antigens. This can confuse the immune system and lead to a misdirected attack.
And here's the plot twist. Some infections can actually trigger autoimmune responses. For example, post-streptococcal glomerulonephritis occurs after a streptococcal infection, where antibodies against the bacteria cross-react with kidney tissues. It's a classic case of the immune system getting a little too enthusiastic.
So, in summary, immune dysfunction can manifest as either underactivity or overactivity of the immune system. Recognizing these patterns is essential for effective diagnosis and treatment, as the approach for managing immunodeficiency differs significantly from that for autoimmune diseases or allergies.
Now let's explore the diagnostic tools used in immunology to assess immune function and identify dysfunctions. One of the most common tests is the complete blood count, or CBC, which provides valuable information about the types and numbers of immune cells present in the bloodstream.
Exactly, Caitlin. A CBC can help identify conditions like leukopenia, where there's a low white blood cell count, indicating potential immunodeficiency. Conversely, a high white blood cell count might suggest an ongoing infection or inflammation.
In addition to the CBC, we often use specific antibody tests to evaluate the immune response. For example, measuring antibody titers can indicate whether a person has immunity to certain infections, such as measles or rubella, or if they need a booster vaccination.
And let's not forget about flow cytometry. This technique allows us to analyze the physical and chemical characteristics of cells. It's particularly useful for identifying different types of immune cells and assessing their activation status. This can be crucial in diagnosing conditions like leukemias and lymphomas.
That's a great point, Caitlin. We also have tests for cytokine levels, which can provide insights into the inflammatory status of an individual. Elevated levels of certain cytokines can indicate chronic inflammation or autoimmune conditions.
Another important diagnostic tool is the immunologic panel, which evaluates various components of the immune system, including complement levels and specific immunoglobulin levels. This can help diagnose primary immunodeficiencies and other immune disorders.
And here's the plot twist. Advanced genomic techniques like next-generation sequencing are becoming more prevalent. They allow us to explore the genetic basis of immune disorders, providing insights that can guide personalized treatment strategies.
So, in summary, the diagnostic tools in immunology are diverse and critical for understanding immune function. From basic blood tests to advanced genomic analyses, these tools help us diagnose, monitor, and manage immune-related conditions effectively.
As we move into our final segment, let's discuss the therapeutic implications of our understanding of the immune system. With the insights gained from immunology, we can develop various strategies to enhance, suppress, or modulate immune responses in clinical practice.
Absolutely, Victor. One of the most significant advancements in immunotherapy is the use of monoclonal antibodies. These are engineered antibodies designed to target specific antigens on cancer cells, enhancing the immune system's ability to recognize and destroy those cells.
And let's not forget about checkpoint inhibitors. These drugs block proteins that prevent T cells from attacking cancer cells. By inhibiting these checkpoints, we can unleash T cells to mount a more robust attack on tumors. It's like giving the immune system a green light to do its job.
That's a great analogy, Caitlin. Additionally, vaccines remain a cornerstone of immunological therapy. They prime the immune system to recognize and respond to specific pathogens, and recent advancements in mRNA vaccines have shown incredible promise, especially in the fight against infectious diseases like COVID-19.
Exactly. mRNA vaccines instruct cells to produce a harmless piece of the virus, which then triggers an immune response without causing disease. This technology could revolutionize how we approach not only infectious diseases, but also cancer and autoimmune disorders.
And here's the plot twist. We're also seeing the rise of personalized medicine in immunotherapy. By understanding an individual's unique immune profile, we can tailor treatments that are more effective and have fewer side effects. This approach is particularly exciting in oncology, where treatments can be customized based on the tumor's specific characteristics.
In summary, the therapeutic implications of our understanding of the immune system are vast and continually evolving. From monoclonal antibodies and checkpoint inhibitors to vaccines and personalized medicine, these strategies hold great potential for improving patient outcomes across a range of diseases. As we wrap up today's episode, let's summarize the key insights we've discussed about the immune system and its clinical relevance. We began by exploring the intricate components of the immune system, highlighting the roles of various cells and molecules.
Then we delved into the mechanisms of immune activation, emphasizing how the immune system recognizes and responds to pathogens. We also discussed the importance of coordination and regulation to maintain balance and prevent overactivation.
Following that, we examined patterns of immune dysfunction, including immunodeficiencies and autoimmune disorders, which can disrupt the delicate balance of immune responses. This understanding is crucial for diagnosing and managing these conditions.
We also covered the diagnostic tools available in immunology, from basic blood tests to advanced genomic techniques, which help us assess immune function and tailor treatments accordingly.
Finally, we explored the therapeutic implications of our knowledge of the immune system, including immunotherapies, vaccines, and personalized medicine strategies that are revolutionizing patient care.
As we conclude, remember that the immune system is a complex and dynamic entity that plays a vital role in our health. Each insight we discussed today contributes to a deeper understanding of how we can harness this knowledge for better clinical outcomes.
Thank you for joining us on this journey through the immune system. We hope you found today's discussion enlightening and that it inspires you to continue exploring the fascinating world of immunology. Until next time, stay curious and informed.